Good morning. And for once, for a couple of seconds, I'm going to sound like me. And then you'll see as the coffee wears off, it'll go back to croaking and all that kind of stuff. The one good thing about having like a sore throat for me is that it's the one time I actually have a low voice. Okay. The rest of the time I have a very squeaky voice, and I know that comparatively speaking, it's still not that low, but it sounds low to me, okay? I say as I squeak while I say that, sounds low. But this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about our last of our social media sermons. I know you were just on pins and needles to hear one about Tinder or something like that, but I think we're going to, or Uber, you know, but I think we're going to stick to the big three. So today we're going to talk about Facebook. And I want to begin, though, by talking about my morning, okay? So my morning, as many of you may remember from when you were raising kids, or some of you as you're still doing it right now, my morning was a little bit hectic. So I woke up this morning. And, multiple times was awakened, one because of my wife coughing a lot because Harper has decided to become typhoid child and just bring home everything she picks up at school. Not COVID, we had her at the doctor yesterday, all that, but it's just whatever she can get. And I was awakened by the coughing, and then I was awakened by her slamming her door open and then shut and all that kind of stuff. And then I got up and was met in the living room with, "I want McDonald's." It's like, well, too bad. You're not having McDonald's. I have to get ready for church. We don't have time for that. So I made breakfast for her, got in the shower, got ready to come out the door of the house, get her in the car, which, by the way, it's tough when she's wearing a dress, right? Those seats are not made for dresses. So that took a little bit. Then after I get her strapped in, I put on my seatbelt. She says, uh-oh. For about the 300th time in a row, she did not have her water with her, so I had to go back in the house, get the water bottle, come back out to the car, get set down. She says, "Daddy, I need Kleenex." "Is there not any Kleenex in the car?" "No." Back in the house, go get the Kleenex, come back out to the car, get in the car. Finally, we get going. I said, "If your foot falls off, we're still going. I don't care. We're gonna get to church." So in case, you know, and Kathy's wondering why I was late to Sunday school, that's the reason, okay? And on the way, we have this, where we're driving down Highway 9 in Bowling Springs, and I think things are going pretty well. And then everybody just stops for no good reason. And it's because somebody had to turn off down a side road. And then they start going, and the next person has to turn off down the side road. And the third person has to go off down the side road. And by then, I'm just ready to, you know, chew up nails, right? Like, get out of the way. Get on the interstate. Heading there. Finally think, okay, everything's going to be good. Get down here to the intersection with the train tracks. And, you know, somebody comes zooming through. And I'm like, you know, frustrated with that, right? Get here. Harper wants to, you know, disrupt Sunday school the entire time. By the way, sorry to everybody who's in Sunday school, right? And then on top of that, I'm thinking, here I am, you know, I had people wear masks for a long time and this, that, and the other, and here I am coming to church when I've got a respiratory thing, okay? But that's why I've got this on when I'm not preaching, okay? But so I tell you all the annoying little annoyances of my morning today. And I'll tell you, what I tend to do is I focus on those annoyances and I get so wrapped up into them that I'm mad at those people who turned off the road, right? I'm annoyed with Harper because she forgot her darn water again. I'm going to staple it to her hand and then she'll keep it with her, right? And because we were out of Kleenex in the car and this, that, and the other, it's 100 different things, right? And then I'm like, well, I want to sing, but I can't sing because it sounds like this, right? And there's 100 different things to get frustrated with. And in the face of that, I think about our scripture for today. And our scripture for today, which I picked earlier this week, but turned out to be perfect for today, is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. I want you to hear these words of Paul. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So now, as I look back on this morning, I look back at it through the lens of Philippians chapter 4, and I think, you know what? My daughter woke me up this morning reminding me that she wanted to go to church. That's a pretty cool thing, right? And then she wanted to make sure she looked her best, and she had to pick the perfect dress, and she needed help getting it down and all that, and all these things that were frustrating and annoying were because she wanted to be in the Lord's house. Like, I've decided I'm not going to make her attend church, but that I want her to come because she wants to be in the Lord's house. And she does currently. Part of that is she gets to play with Bailey. But, you know, it doesn't hurt, right? We go places because our friends are there. That is a positive, right? And all the other things that are minor annoyances spring from that. And then we get in the car to drive to church, and she forgets a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm reminded that when Kristen and I, years and years ago, first began discussing whether or not we would have children, I said, and this is where God has a sense of humor. I said, hey, I think we should have a kid. And she said, oh, really? You think we should have a kid? And she said, you know, it'll end up being like us. And I said, yeah, that'll be great. It'll be like a little bit of you and a little bit of me, and that'll be awesome. And then I remember that this week at school, for about the 300th time, I left my coffee mug, not this one, but a different one, somewhere on campus. And the same person keeps finding it for me and sends me emails and texts and says, hey, Tim, you have a habit of leaving your coffee mug laying around, and I have a habit of finding it. Is this yours? Yeah, it's mine. I'll get it. I'll get it tomorrow. And so I'm thinking, I'm almost 40, and I forget my cup, right? And here I get frustrated with her, right? So she's just like me. It's the fulfillment of the old curse, right? I hope you have one just like you. And many times that's a great thing, right? And that's what I need to focus on. And then as we're driving down the road and those cars stop and impede my progress, how dare they impede my progress as I'm trying to go to church, right? And they turn up the road. I had a thought. You know what's up that road? It's a little church up that little road. And that's what they were doing. They were going to church. And here I am frustrated with them for stopping dead in the road. Now, they didn't have to stop dead in the road, but still, you know, they're being safe on the way to the Lord's house, I guess. And that's a good thing, right? It's a positive. Regardless of what church they're going to worship the Lord. And that's exciting and that's wonderful. And I should be happy as a preacher that they're doing that, right? Okay. And then I get here and I'm all scratchy and I'm frustrated and this, that, and the other. And I should remind myself that guess what? I'm not the only one who has to show up for work sometimes when they don't feel good. Right, Jerry? You've had to do that, right? And you felt a whole lot worse than I do today. And yet, you know, that's what we do, right? We do things maybe when we don't feel 100%. And that's part of life. And what a wonderful blessing that my particular job is that I get to sing songs and stand up here and talk about Jesus. That's a pretty cool job to have, right? That's awesome. In fact, and I get to plan, like, talking about handing out candy to little kids and stuff, right? That's if you're going to get paid for something, that's a pretty cool thing to get paid for, right? And yet, what I do is I tend to focus on the frustrations, right? I focus on how Harper's done something that's gotten on my nerves. And I get a focus on how my coworkers might say something foolish. Or they didn't get this done on time. Or I sent them an email and it took them a week to get back to me. Right? There's 100 different things. And I think that Facebook, this wonderful thing that I'm on right now for Facebook Live, right? So that people can see the sermon if they can't make it to church. Facebook is just the anti-Philippians chapter 4. Because what do we see on Facebook, right? We talked about Instagram and how Instagram presents us with an idealized version of the people around us, right? Everything looks perfect. They've never had a pimple. They shave perfectly. They're in Barbados every day, right? Everything is perfect on Instagram. Facebook is the opposite, isn't it? What we do on Facebook is we get on there and we show the ugliest sides of ourselves, don't we? We get on there and we're snarky and we're mean and we revel in somebody else's misery. And that's kind of the cottage industry of what Facebook does, isn't it? It's set up, excuse me, there's actually documentaries on this. Facebook is set up to keep you mad. It's set up to figure out through these things called algorithms. It knows what you click on. And if you click on something that says, can you believe what this idiot politician did? And if that idiot politician, right now, everybody thinks all of them are idiots, right? Depending on who you're talking to, right? So if that idiot politician happens to be a Democrat, then they're going to give you all the stuff that says Democrats are stupid and da-da-da-da-da, right? That's all you're going to see on Facebook. Now, vice versa, if that idiot politician you don't like happens to be an elephant fan, right? Then you're going to get all these things that are going to get you outraged about the latest thing that Lauren Boebert said or somebody like that, right? If you're frustrated with the Democrats, you're going to get all this stuff Nancy Pelosi said, right? You're going to get frustrated because somebody has figured out that you're more likely to post about stuff that gets on your nerves than you are about something that's happy, right? How many times do you see your Facebook friends get on there and say, I had the worst pizza I ever had at Domino's today? Do they ever get on there and say, boy, my Big Mac at McDonald's was really good today? They don't. And sometimes that Big Mac is good. Now, maybe not all the time. But when do we get on? We get on when we're annoyed. When do we post something? We post something when we're frustrated with that politician who's gotten on our nerves. When do we post something? We post something when we see that Clemson lost, right? And maybe we're a South Carolina fan. We're like, hey, right? That's what we do. We revel in somebody else's misery. And all that does is wind up the person who disagrees with us, right? I am a North Carolina fan. And I have to restrain myself from posting when NC State loses because I just enjoy it so much. And last night, I became a Miami fan, and I don't care about Miami, but I just wanted to see State lose. And I managed to restrain my Facebook fingers from saying something because I've been on the other side of it plenty of times, and my friends who went to State love to jump on there whenever Carolina has a problem. And they love to talk about how the Tar Heels lost and all this kind of stuff. Oh, it's so great. And I remember that whenever that happens, I get annoyed, right? I have that little meh, and I'm like, I want to say something mean to them. But does that help anything? It doesn't. It only keeps that vicious cycle going. And the thing is, we do that about everything, don't we? Right? And Facebook just keeps us wound up. It keeps us annoyed. And then what do? When somebody says something we don't like, boop, we unfriend, right? Or we mute them for 30 days. Now, I'm not saying you have to keep a toxic person on your social media. If they are saying hateful things and things that make you want to say hateful things, then maybe the best thing to do is take a break, okay? But what we've done with our social media is we focus on all the negative things about everybody, don't we? Can you believe they said that? Can you believe they posted that graphic that I disagree with? How dare they say something I don't agree with? Just like those cars that had the nerve to stop to go to church in front of me. Right? We focus on the negative so often that we forget the joy. And here in Philippians, Paul says this, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I wonder how often people look at me and focus on the negatives, right? How often they say, boy, can you believe he says things that are inappropriate from the pulpit? Can you believe how he dresses? Can you believe this? Can you believe that? I don't like this. He didn't show up for UMW and all this kind of stuff, right? We can focus on, and people can do it for us, right? We can focus on, and we all make mistakes, and we all do things that aren't really great sometimes. And yet, at the same time, we all show wonderful glimpses of Christ's love, right? What if, instead of getting caught up in the outrage mill that Facebook keeps us clicking on, what if we stopped, and whenever somebody gets on our nerves, we said, wait a minute, let me think about something, anything that is commendable about this person, right? What if I thought about anything that is commendable? So let's do a practice round of a couple of these, okay? We'll start silly, okay? So for me, we'll do mine. I won't do Clemson and South Carolina because it's, you know, that's what everybody does, okay? I'll do mine with North Carolina and NC State. I always get annoyed with them, and we'll pick on them about, you know, they got to start the tractors if we beat them and that sort of thing, right? Now, that is elitist and smart-alecky, isn't it, right? Now, what I could focus on with, for example, that institution is I can say, man, you know, all these buildings that we get built, all these roads and cool bridges that come up, that's because somebody's an engineer, right? And you know what? They don't train those at my school, right? That's something that's got to come from a place like an NC State, right? And you know what? I really like golf courses. Those are really pretty. Well, you know who teaches all that kind of stuff? Same place, right? And I can admire the hard work and the difficulty that goes into something like a turf management degree, right? Because I can look at my backyard and say, I grow spiky stuff really well. But somebody out there knows how to make a yard that doesn't stab you in the foot, right? Somebody out there knows how to do that. That's a good thing, right? What if we focused on those people who get on our nerves in the same way that I just practiced with NC State? What if we did that with our politicians? Now, that's a hard one, right? Some people get really annoyed with our last president, right? And say, oh, President Trump was just this awful guy, okay? Now, are there things to disagree with him about? Absolutely, right? Just like there are things to disagree with our current president, right? Just it's always. None of them are perfect, right? So what if, now the reason I pick him because he's super polarizing, right? You either love him or you just can't stand it, right? Okay, well, let's say that you're not a big fan of him, okay? What can you find that is admirable? What can you find that is honorable or pleasing or just about somebody with whom you are very angry, right? Well, what if you could say to, like, for example, I think, what would I tell my daughter? How could he be a role model for her? Okay? And I would say to her, I would say, look, this is a person who has stick-to-itiveness, who doesn't give up, right? Who, right, many times before he was finally elected president, ran a whole bunch of times, didn't get there, right? Same with our current one, right? He's run a whole bunch of times, didn't work out, okay? But kept at it until eventually he won it, right? Is willing to fail in order to succeed, whether that's in business, whether that's in politics, right? And there's something to be learned from somebody who says, you know what, I'm not going to let what somebody says that's negative about me stop me from what I'm doing, whether you agree with it or not, right? That is a positive thing, okay? Think about it for, sometimes Methodists and Baptists get on each other's nerves, right? You know? And we say bad things, but we make jokes about each other. And they'll talk about how we sprinkle people, throw water on them. We'll talk about how they're trying to drown people in the back and things like that, right? Now, and I might get annoyed with somebody who has a different theological perspective than myself, right? But what if I said, hey, you know what? That church that says people need to get rebaptized, which as a Methodist I can't do, and I can't go along with that, right? Because I think that God did it, and it's about Jesus, and it's not about, you know, what church building you're in. But what if I said, hey, you know what? The fact that they're so into that shows that they believe in the power of that sacrament. that they know it's important, and maybe they go about it a different way than I do, but that is showing that they take it seriously, that they really want the people in their church to be close to Jesus, that they really want them to know that they've been claimed and chosen and that they are part of God's new kingdom. That's something good, isn't it? Right? What if we focused on each of these times that Facebook pops up that article that, by the way, is probably from some Russian trolling farm, right? You've seen the news articles? There are these folks in like Russia and China and stuff like that that are making these articles that they say, those Americans are going to get mad at each other over this. And they post something, right? And we fall for it. We we're predictable. What if we said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to see this article about whoever it is, insert name here, that I don't like. And I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to think, is there anything worthy of praise? Because, look, I want somebody to do that about me, right? I want, when I pop up on somebody's feed and I've said something they disagree with, I want them to look at me and say, you know what? There is something good about that guy. Maybe I should give him a chance, right? And then, in return, I should do the same to others. I think that we have an opportunity for something like Facebook not to make it about a constant cycle of insults and recrimination and making fun, but instead make it a type place where we can say something positive about the people around us. What if we took the time and had the same enthusiasm to tell when we got a good pizza from Domino's? Right? Maybe that's less likely, but that makes it more worthy of a post, right? Maybe we should take the opportunity to praise that politician with whom we often disagree when they do something that is good, right? What if we modeled this sort of attitude in our social media? What if we modeled it with our children? What if instead of me jumping down Harper's throat because she forgot her cup, if I said, baby, I do that kind of thing all the time. Let me tell you what my strategy is for remembering my stuff, right? What if I did that instead of jumping right to being frustrated? Imagine how much better my morning could have been if I hadn't jumped right to frustration. Amen. Imagine how much better our relationships and our social media and everything else could be if we took Philippians chapter 4 seriously. So I hope this is your homework for today, or for this week. Your homework is this. When that thing shows up on your feed, or when you see the article on the news or in the newspaper that is clickbait, right? You know when something is phrased a certain way, right? Like, for example, can you believe how Jen Psaki said this thing and it was so awesome? Right? Once you click, that's intended to make somebody who is a more liberal really happy, right? And it's intended to annoy the crap out of somebody who's conservative, right? Vice versa. It comes up 100 times. When you see that, take a moment and think, how can I model Philippians here? How can I be someone who sees what's good and what's commendable and what's pure in those around me? Because every single one of us has annoying things and wonderful things, right? We are complex creatures. The same guy who, you know, might be yelling at his daughter this morning for something silly and stupid can be encouraging his congregation to love others around him. We are complex. But Jesus loves us all the same. Jesus sees us this way, right? If Jesus didn't see us this way, if he didn't see what's good, what's pleasing, what's commendable in you and me, then he wouldn't have been willing to live, to die, to be raised again on our behalf, right? That is the same love that Christ showed us. That's what we get to do. May we live that way online. May we live that way in our homes. May we live that way in our workplaces, even in our churches, and even as we go to the polls in November. Amen? Amen. Amen.